Menachos Perek Ches Mishnah Zayin 8-7, the last of the Perek and the last on the topic of the making of the wines for the Beis Hamikdash Nesachim. L'hayu kontin oso b'chatzavim gedolim. They wouldn't and shouldn't put the wine in storage in large vats. Ela b'chavios katanos, but rather in small barrels. The idea is that in a large vat, the wine is likely to be bad or go bad because it takes a long time to drain, so you use it over the course of a number of days, and each day you use it, there's more air getting inside the vat, and therefore there's more oxidation and spoiling. Kind of like if you have a bottle of wine, you want to use it in one day, you don't leave it sitting out for a week. Somebody says the Mishnah, Ve'enu mamala es achavios ad piem. When you fill the barrel, you shouldn't fill it all the way to the top. Kadeshe recho nodef. So there's a space between the top of the wine and the top of the barrel, so that the fragrance of the wine can waft. That's a literal translation. There are two basic approaches in this. The first is that you want to have this great smell that comes out of the barrel when you open it up, and that's available there. The other approach is that by having the alcohol on the top, the volatile alcohol that evaporates on the top of the barrel, that essentially creates a barrier to prevent air from coming in by pressurizing the barrel, and that way you are going to it will stay fresher longer. Eino mevi lo mipia mipnei hakamachin. When you take the wine out of the barrel, you shouldn't take it from the top of the barrel because of the kamachin. Now, kamachin, like the word kemach, means flour. It means white bits in the top. Presumably, that is the yeasts floating in the top, which you don't want in, although later on, the Mishnah will say this is something that's bad news, potentially, according to one Tana. Maybe that means mold. And you also shouldn't draw the wine from the very bottom of the barrel because then you'll have the dregs of the battle. You know, the sediment settles to the bottom, the yeast die and go to the bottom. Just like in English, the dregs of society are barred from the term the dregs of the bottom of the barrel. It's a known thing. The bottom of the barrel has this like icky stuff. You don't want that in your wine. Therefore, take it. Ela mevi mishlisha umeimta. Take it from the third in the middle. So one shot, the simplest shot I think is just saying take it from the middle third. Not a tight reading the words, but that's a simple reading here. Take it from the middle third of the barrel, so you're not too high, not too low. Get the Goldilocks middle sweet wine without any of the kamachin on top or the shamarin at the bottom. Ketzed hubodek. Now, as the wine is flowing out, how do you make sure that you haven't started to take some of the bad stuff from the barrel into the wine you're collecting? Says the Mishnah, Hagizbar Yoshev v'hakaneh biyado. The temple authority, who's in charge of this, he sits watching the wine come out, and he has a stick in his hand. Now, kane typically mean not a stick like a walking stick, but rather like a reed. But many learn it is like a stick, like a walking stick, like a staff in his hand that shows his authority. And when it says zarak es hagid v'kish b'kane, that literally means when the stringy stuff starts coming out of the wine barrel into the container. At that point, as soon as it's coming, the wine has the stringy stuff coming out of the hole, he smacks with the stick. So two basic approaches to what's happening here. One is that he essentially has a stick, he hits the barrel, and that puts the other person who's doing the pouring of the wine on notice, stop letting wine come out, because now the stringy gross stuff is coming out also. The reason why he doesn't use his own, he just say stop, is because they don't want to talk around the barrels, because the exhaling, the air that comes from when one exhales, is bad for the wine. The other approach is that he's actually deflecting the wine directly. So he actually is not hitting as a way to notify someone else, but rather he hits the flow of wine to divert it, so that the wine that has the stringy stuff doesn't go into the flask he's using to collect the wine. There's a different girsa, it's not gid, but rather gir. Gid is a strange word, but gir is also the truth is. Gir refers to chalk, in modern Hebrew. And the idea is when the white stuff starts coming out, chalk-like stuff, at that point he stops the flow either by notifying the other person who's doing the pouring or by deflecting it directly himself. Finally says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yain sha'ala ba'kamachin, pasul. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, any wine that has kamachin, this white-like stuff on the top of it, is pasul. Shneamar, he brings two psukim. The first says, Tamimim yu lachem umin chasam. One pasuk says you should be perfect and your offerings, your menachos. And also, Tamimim yu lachem v'niskehem. And it says your actual libations should also be, you know, pure. And the idea is in both cases that we don't have stuff that doesn't belong, namely the white debris that's floating on top of the wine barrel. So, again, if it's talking about yeast, kamachin, it's hard to understand exactly to me anyways, because that'd be a natural thing that's produced there. If it's mold, then indeed it makes sense. You don't want to have mold inside your wine. Whatever the case is, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha is like tanakama, which means that you can have, understandably, can have this like white yeast floating on top. That's part of the process of making wine. It's probably a good sign, in fact, that it's fermenting properly. But just, you don't want to collect that into the flask you're using for your nesachim.